bringing the microphone is a little intimidating to me, or the recorder, that is, just because I'm not the most careful person in the world. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. And I'll be referencing Mark as well this morning. So Mark chapter 9 later. Hear the reading of God's holy word from Mark 17, verses 14 through 21. And when they came to a crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Father, Lord, even as we come into this time of opening up your word, we pray that you would be glorified, that you would speak to us through your word and through your spirit. And may it be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. To begin with, I would like to ask you, how many in here think vacations are nice? I love to go on vacation. And there's two places that I like to go, and they're probably two of the same places that you like to go. I love to go to the mountains, and I love to go to the beach. And when I go there, it just seems surreal. You go there, and if you're at either place, you sit back and you relax, and it just seems like nothing's wrong. I mean, everything is just perfect. And it's an awesome feeling you have when you stand on top of a big mountain and you look out and you see all of God's creation, and you're just amazed by what all that you see. And you certainly don't want to think of work and what's going on back at home. You don't want to think of the problems that are waiting on you as soon as you go back in the next time that you go to work. And, you know, even the food tastes better when you're on vacation. I don't know what it is. But then you have to come back to real life, to trials and tribulations, to problems, to things, to homework, to classwork, to everyday situations that many times we'd rather not deal with. But those are the things that, or make up real life, as I call it. And sometimes we feel like we can't necessarily deal with those things, but the scriptures tell us that we can deal with those things through Christ, who gives us the strength. And in this situation this morning is that we look at Jesus heals a man's son who was possessed by a demon. Jesus had just been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had just been up where God proclaimed that this was his beloved son with whom he is well pleased. And he had taken three disciples up with him. He had taken James, John, and Peter up high, up there to pray. And his divine glory was shown in his transfiguration. It was the revelation of who he was. It was the revelation of his deity. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared with him, Moses as the lawgiver, Elijah as the law defender, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. This was a foretaste of the glory that Jesus was going to receive at the cross. And in this, Mark tells us that Peter spoke, and Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be up on this mountain, you know. You know, if I was up on that mountain with Jesus and I saw what happened, I think, like we were talking this morning, I wouldn't want to go down from the mountain. I'd say, can't we just stay a while? When things are good, we really would like for things to stay that way." He said, "I will make three tabernacles for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter had no idea that one day it wouldn't be too long before Jesus would have to go to the cross. The mountaintop was nice, but the cross was waiting. Here, the three disciples were with Jesus, and they were experiencing something really, really special. And the other nine disciples were having quite a different experience. What we find with them is there was a lot of disappointment, confusion, a lot of arguing going on, because the disciples could not heal this man's son who was afflicted with a demon. The man had brought his son to the disciples thinking that Jesus was there. And he had obviously heard of Jesus, and he needed a miracle. If you think about it, if your son is afflicted with a demon, if your son is in trouble, then you want to do what is best for your son. And so he had heard of Jesus and he needed a miracle. When Jesus wasn't there, what did he do? He did the next best thing. He went to the disciples. They had been given the authority to heal and to cast out demons, yet here they were powerless. And Mark 9:14 tells us that the scribes were arguing with Jesus, not with Jesus, with the disciples. You know, where was their leader? Why couldn't they do what they were proclaiming to be able to do? Why couldn't they heal the boy? Where was Jesus? Things were a mess. And Jesus comes back in to the situation. Have you ever asked yourself, where is God in my situation? Where is He? Where is God in the situation with the person that has cancer? Where is God in the situation with the person who lost a loved one in a wreck? Where is God when things happen? Thing that we should remember this morning, that I want us to focus on and think about this morning, is that our hope and faith is built on nothing but what Jesus has done for us and who Jesus is in our life and what He will do for us this morning. There's three things that I want to bring to us this morning from this passage this morning. And the first is, what happens when there is an absence of Jesus? What happens when there's an absence of Jesus? With the boy and his father, they were hurting and they were without much hope. And the only hope they had was the hope that they had known of this man they knew about called Jesus. The man didn't know Jesus personally. He had no relationship with him, but he had a need. His son was plagued with a powerful demon. And I don't know about you, I've never known of a person who had a demon. At least I didn't know it if they did. But if my son had a demon, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to make sure that I couldn't have that demon come out of him. Nothing. And I'm sure this man was the same way. His son was everything to him. The demon would cause the boy to go into these seizures, these epileptic seizures. The demon would cause the boy to burn himself and to throw himself into water to drown him. And the man's heartbroken. He is... he's beside himself. He didn't know what to do. He's grasping at whatever he can grasp at. And he comes to the disciples, and Jesus is not there. His hope, the one person he's heard about who's healing people, is not there. What happens whenever Jesus went there with the disciples? If you look back in Matthew chapter 10, the scriptures tell us in verses 1 through 8, I'm just going to read those real quick. They had been given a commission or an authority. Jesus said, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. They had been given a commission and a call. What went wrong? You know, maybe when they went to cast out the demon from the little boy, it didn't come out instantly. You know, many of us are a little bit impatient. I know I am. I want God to act yesterday. And God's not on my timetable. I would like to pray about something and wake up and the answer's there. And maybe when the disciples tried to cast the demon out, it didn't come out instantly. Maybe they panicked. Maybe they were trying to do this on their own without much thought to who Jesus was. Maybe they weren't looking to Jesus. Maybe they were looking to their own strength and trying to go their own way in order to heal the boy. And then you have the scribes. There's the three groups, the boy and his father, the disciples, and you also have the scribes. They could care less where Jesus was. In fact, it was perfect that Jesus was not there, and it was even better for them that they didn't cast out the demon, because they were arguing with them among the people. They were mocking the disciples because they weren't able to heal the boy. And they probably used this lack of success to question who Jesus was. Many times we ask Jesus, where are you? Everybody's so consumed. Let's see, the disciples were consumed with trying to cast out the demon. The father was consumed with trying to find Jesus. The scribes were making a joke of everything. And here's this boy. possessed by a demon, the one who is hurting. Do we have a necessity of Christ? If we took Christ out of our lives, what difference would it make? Think about it. If you took Christ out of the church, what difference would it make? Could we not come here and sing songs every Sunday? We could. Could we not meet at night and just talk about things of how to become better? You could, but when everything seems to be going great, you need to be warned, without Jesus, we're nothing. We're nothing. We can't do anything. Jesus is everything. When you're plagued with your own sickness, with the sickness of a loved one, be warned, you need Jesus. When everything's going great, you need Jesus. You have to look to Him. You think about, what is it that we really need in life? You know, we need material things. We need a home or some place to lay our head at night. We need food. We need water. But everything else we really don't need. If something happened and took everything away, would we be okay? We would, as long as we have Christ. You know, we've also been given a commission. The disciples were given a commission to go out and to cast out demons. We've been given a commission in Matthew 28 to go out and share the gospel. And often when we go out and we tell people about Christ, if we don't see them turn in faith to Christ instantly, we give up. And especially when we have other people mocking us and laughing at us and saying, ah, look at those Christians trying to be better than everybody else. Look at those people who can't do anything that they say they can do. And we give up. Where's Jesus? The absence of Jesus can affect us in a horrible way. But not only the absence of Jesus, the absence of faith. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9 and we'll look at the companion story of this from Mark's gospel. Mark 9 verses 16 through 19. This is pretty much the same. It's the same story, just told with a little bit different. The scripture says, and he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear you? Bring him to me. O faithless generation. Those are scary words coming from Christ. How much faith do we need to be Christians? We need a lot, right? Actually, all we need is faith in Christ. We don't have the faith. It's not having an amount or quantity of faith. It's having faith in the right thing, the right person. And if you continue on, let's see, Jesus says, I brought my son to you. And later in verse 23, I'm just going to keep reading. It says, and they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has also often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, notice that word can. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And one of my favorite things, immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. He recognized that his faith was a weak faith that would not get him anywhere. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Many times I feel just like that man. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, and the boy was healed instantly. And later, and Matt, back in Matthew, you find out later, the disciples come to Jesus privately and they ask him, why couldn't we cast it out? And he said, it is because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. For the disciples, it wasn't a question of that they had faith. It was the person that their faith was in. Maybe at times, sometimes we look to ourselves instead of looking to Christ when things get rough. We forget to put all of our trust in Jesus. I know that preachers have preached whole sermons just on that one thing about the mustard seed. That it's such a small seed and yet grows into such a large plant. What happened to the disciples? What kind of faith do we have? When we're facing something extremely hard, where's our faith when God doesn't fix things instantly? When things don't turn out the way that we think they should turn out? Where's our faith? You know, the scriptures say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can do nothing through us. We can do nothing through ourselves. We first had Jesus missing, then we have faith missing. And the last thing that you see is prayer is missing. What was the reason why they weren't able to cast out the demon? And Mark tells us, back in Mark 9, that prayer is missing. In verse 28, it says, when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Where are their prayers? You know, they're so busy arguing with the scribes that prayers are lost. Prayer always accompanies faith. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now that's the King James Version, and that's the version I memorized many, many years ago. But it's true. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not the prayer that avails so much, it is the person whom the prayer is directed to. The lack of prayer is the lack of communication with God, and the lack of communication with God leads you back to being without Jesus. You know, is prayer a one-time thing that we do once a day, and that's it? No, prayer is a communing with God. It's not about getting what we want when we want it. It's about talking to the Lord on a daily basis throughout the day, especially when things are bad. And it's a gift. It is a gift that we neglect. If you're walking out someplace and you look on the ground and you find a $10 bill, you think, today is my day. I found some money. That's great. And you're going to just let that money stay on the ground? You'll pick it up and you put it in your pocket. You'll be, well, unless you know who dropped it. We have a gift that we neglect. We have communication with the one who created us. We have communication with the one who redeemed us. And we have communication with the one who sustains us. And yet, we often neglect it. Instead, we focus in on bills, or we focus in on problems, or we focus in on things, what's happening. And our prayer lives are left to suffer. Prayer is not some kind of magic wand that we pick up and we want Jesus just to do just what we need right then. Prayer is spending time with God and His Word. I'm going to read a few verses from John 15, verses 7 through 8. The scriptures tell us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you prove to be my disciples. We don't have the physical presence of Jesus with us right now, and most of us face trials of various kinds every day. The past year for me has been a different year. This past year, I really want to thank this church for being there for me. I thank my God for being there for me, because I could not have made it this year without my Lord and without my church family, and without the prayers of the people in this church. This past year, for me, that was filled with a lot of no sleep, a lot of pain, a lot of misery. A lot of times when I would come to church and everybody would say, well, how are you doing today? And I would really want to say, I'm doing good, but I really wasn't doing so good. But you love me still. And you prayed for me. And I felt it. And I knew that God was there for me. There were times this past year I just didn't really feel like coming to church. I felt bad. I didn't feel like going to work. And somebody said, well, what if it doesn't get any better? I said, it's got to get better. But you know, it doesn't have to get better. The only thing that has to be is we have to have Christ. No matter if it gets worse, it's okay. Because worse in having Christ is being better and not having Christ. The older I get, the more I realize that time is passing quick. I look in the mirror and I see myself and I ask myself, who is that that I'm looking at? Because that guy doesn't look like the guy that I remember. I remember the guy with a little bit more hair, but a little bit darker hair too. And I think time's going quick. That we've got to use our time, every bit of our time, to do whatever God wants us to do. God's given us a commission, Matthew 28. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God's given us commission. He's given us, just like the disciples were given commission. But we can't do it in our own strength. We can do nothing without Christ. And it's not going to be easy for us as we go about our days to share the gospel with others around us. Just as this man had faith that Christ could heal him, or heal his son rather, we need to have faith that God can work through us and in us to bring others to Christ. Whenever I'm working out as a teacher with all the kids that I work with throughout the district, I see a lot of kids who are hurting. A lot. Those without Christ, I see. It's obvious to me. They're in pain. One's in jail, I think, this week. One doesn't want anything. He wants to just be by himself. If you don't see the world as a hurting place, your eyes are not open. If you don't see people who don't have Christ really don't have anything. Doesn't matter if you've got the biggest house in the world or you've got the smallest house in the world. If you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. I don't want Jesus to say to me or say to us, "Oh, faithless generation." I want him to say, "Trust in me, hope in me, look to me, because I will give you strength." And he will. Let us pray.